Monday night and the Win Free conference call, and we are live on BBS, and we're simulcast on our telephone conference line, and we're still checking people in. So those of you who are on BBS, just hang with us a second so that we can find out who's on our line thus far. I heard some people just check in. Would like to say your name and your city.
Oh, hi, Wynn. I was just over in the other line leaving a message for you. I didn't know that you were...
Oh, I was here. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. All right.
Suzanne, you would have had to done it yourself if I wasn't here, huh?
Well, I might have been able to do it with Jubilee, but I don't know.
Okay. All right. And anyone else on the line?
Yep. Wayne's on the line.
Wayne. Hi, Wayne.
A little bit late, but I'm here.
And Gino's on the line from Barcelona, yes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Say hello to the BBS listeners from Barcelona, Spain, huh? And hello.
Hi, BBS. This is Gino and from Barcelona, Spain.
And who else is on the line now? I heard someone check in.
Hi, Wynn. It's Dee from Brevard, North Carolina.
Hi, Dee.
Hi, Wynn.
When I say Heidi, it sounds like that fictional character, doesn't it? Heidi.
It like the drink. It was high C.
Right. And who else is on the line right now? But I have Diana, Anna, Gina, Claudia, Gary, Marianne, Suzanne, John, Suzanne twice, okay, Wayne, and Dee. Anyone else? Going once, going twice. Okay. So, for those of you that are on BBS, let me just see here. Hang on.
There are 12 participants in the conference.
For those of you that are on BBS that are not on the line, we're doing an exercise for this hour. And the exercise, I don't know if it has a name. We'd have to make one up. It's an exercise in what you could call group consciousness, and melding with the group consciousness of other realms. You know, there's a, many people walk around with many books talk about the idea of we are all one. But what does that mean? For many of us, that's an idea that doesn't have any grounding in any real experience except maybe a mental construct. Well, we are actually on this line having the intention of generating that experience, not talking about it, but generating it so that you might experience it during the course of the call. And maybe if you're going to have an experience, there has to be an understanding of how that experience works, so that your mind, which is listening and perhaps skeptical or wondering, needs some guidance so it's willing to get out of the way and let the experience actually happen. Somebody just checked in. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Hi, Wynn. It's Ondine in California.
Hi, Ondine. When are you going back to China? When are you going back to China?
I hope soon. I'm not sure. I think maybe September.
Okay. Great. Let me mute everybody for a moment.
The following conference commands are available to the moderator. To record a conference, press *2. All callers are muted.
Of course, that was the wrong button to mute everybody at first. Okay, so this is an experiment in oneness. And every time we do it, I don't know if it's going to happen because I'm part of the experiment. I'm a participant here, just as you are, except I'm the talking participant. And it's kind of unrehearsed. I don't know what I'm going to say. And I kind of like it like that. And then it makes it a little bit exciting because we're all here saying, what's going to happen next? So to have an experience of oneness, we might have to look at what does oneness mean? What does it mean when someone should say, we are all one? Obviously, in the physical, we are not one. We are separate. We have people on the line from Spain, from South Carolina, from Northern California, from Arizona. Each person is in a separate physical location. So how can we be one when we're separate? Well, we have to make a premise that we are not just physical bodies. Here's some of the premises that I've come to try to understand this experience. Number one, that we exist as an energy in a matrix in addition to our physical bodies, and that that energy in a matrix continues when our physical body goes. Then it comes back and has another physical body and another, and in an endless stream of experiences of physical bodies, maybe thousands of them. And part of the nature of this experience, which is commonly called reincarnation, is that each time we come into a body, we don't remember anything from any of our experiences. And it's like a new, totally new creation, except that we carry the same matrix, or close to it, from one body experience to the next body experience. Now, the matrix is very mutable and changeable, whereas the physical body, of course, is not. And the matrix is an energy. And in fact, it's my belief, if we could look at the matrix, we would not see sharp, fine edges between your matrix and my matrix. We could see fuzzy edges. And we could also see that what we could consider your matrix and my matrix were changing all the time. Whatever your experience is in a given moment, your matrix is responding to it. Wherever you are in your physical body, whoever you're with, you are totally recreating yourself in your matrix. So we now have this mutable matrix that's changing, and matrixes can join together. And this happens all the time. It happens when people are in love, when people are in the same household. It happens when people are in a room together looking at a speaker. There's a momentary joining of matrixes on the other side. And we live in a dimension with our physical bodies, which you could say is third dimension. And in third dimension, time moves at a certain speed. Now, to us, the movement of time seems very absolute. Like we could all agree to meet tonight at 6:30, and boom, at 6:30, we have people all over the country, in fact, all over the world, on this phone, and they all agree when 6:30 is. Now, Einstein proved that when you move closer to the speed of light, if you get a physical object moving, time moves differently for anyone that's moving at that speed. And of course, the imaginary spaceship, where people are on that spaceship and they get off the spaceship, and maybe 100 years passed here and 5 years passed for them if they were moving fast enough. Of course, this is a scientific projection, because we don't have spaceships that move at the speed of light, and so we don't really have evidence backing it up, although Einstein proved it scientifically that if it was so, that that would be the case. So we now have the idea that time changes according to how fast you're moving, and the experience of time changes. So now we have an interesting possibility that we have our part in the matrix and we have our part in the physical world. Well, what is time like in the Matrix? When you die, for example, is there time? How does time feel? We know how time feels here, but we don't know how time feels when we're totally in our Matrix. I would suggest the idea that the Matrix has all these layers in it that are all moving at different speeds, and maybe even faster than the speed of light, so that right now we exist in our bodies in this third-dimensional realm where time is moving simultaneously with multi-layers of energy, which we could call the part of us that's in the Matrix, moving at different speeds. And so since it's moving at different speeds, it's in a different dimension, we can't see it. So we have to find a way to know that it's real. That, how do we know that's true? Well, we don't. This is like a what if. What if it works that way? You know, there's many, many traditions that talk about a soul, that talk about a part of a person that's not in the physical. There's ghosts. There's all kinds of things that we don't understand. So let's just say that I'm giving a possible explanation for how that works, that we exist in other timelines while we're here. Now, other timelines are out of this space continuum, which means the part of you that's in another timeline right now may not be bound by the physical space, because it's not in the space. For example, when people have psychic interactions and they think of somebody and the phone rings, or when you have a synchronicity where you have been thinking about doing something and somehow some magic happens and just the right circumstance unfolds, and you're in the middle of something more perfect than you could have ever created out of your conscious self. How did you do that? Well, it's my belief that the way that works is while you're in the physical, and while you're thinking, and while you're creating, and while you're intending, all those thoughts, creations, and intentions penetrate through the veil and into the Matrix part of you, which is outside of the time constraints of this dimension. And that part of you that's energy is moving around and busy creating things outside of your even knowledge that it's creating it. And suddenly, there's a circumstance that unfolds where if you're following your intuitions, and when this has happened to me, oftentimes I was late for something, and I was rushing and I was late, and suddenly being late caused me to cross paths with just the right circumstance, and something very magical happened. Or you got lost and you ended up somewhere and something magical happened. It's kind of like that part of you that's in the Matrix, that's in these other dimensions, is impulsing your conscious mind with through the process, maybe we could call it intuitive flashes, and causing and directing you to do things that are spontaneous and that bring about the unfolding of these synchronistic encounters that you are creating. So now you're creating outside of this timeline. Well, when we start thinking about the Matrix, then we have to say, what else is in this Matrix besides our own soul essences? And I believe we would find it populated by all kinds of things. Now, of course, it's a very complex deal because you have timeline stacked on timeline. There's not just one timeline. There's not just one other side that says, here's a new place, which we could call the other side. We have timeline upon timeline upon timeline stacked on top of each other. Right now, for everyone here, I would suggest that where you're sitting in the physical world, in the third dimensional timeline, you have other timelines right in your space that you can't see. They are there. Now, I would suggest that there's all kinds of beings in these other timelines. Some of them could be negative. Some of them are negative, which means they can tap into your energy field. And your energy field's in the matrix, so they can look at it and tap it and use it. And beyond these negative ones, there's very, very positive ones. And that there's this process called soul evolution, and that is having a person grow into the most expansive matrix possible while they're in a body. And what would that expansive matrix look like? That would be where their matrix now includes all other matrixes, at least on this planet. And which case you are suddenly immersed in the experience of oneness, because everyone now is part of you. And when you meet people, they don't look unfamiliar. They say, there's another part of me, and there's another part of me. And this, as you do this, there's a magic that starts to happen in your life, because you suddenly are experiencing compassion by necessity. How can you not be compassionate for yourself? So while you're confined in your little earthly body, simultaneously you're walking around with this huge energy matrix that whoever you should meet might be included in it. And the perception of other people is, gosh, you're very loving. Gosh, it's nice to be around you. Gosh, I really feel understood. So maybe that is one of the ultimate experiences for a human to have on this level, to tap into what we could call the collective matrix of this planet. And now you have no choice but to experience oneness, because you are no longer your individual matrix. Now, that's a very nice ideal, and perhaps some of us have crossed paths with people that have done that. I think some of the great masters, the great yogis, perhaps Gandhi, perhaps somebody like Martin Luther King, people that took the role that was bigger than what their normal life body role would have led them. Somehow they moved into the experience of being more than they were, and that created them to have the need to express that. And so, of course, it's an individual creation, so each person has to decide how they will manifest that expression once they realize that they're tapped into it. So, for the rest of us, we're busy learning. We say, well, that sounds like a nice idea, but I'm walking around and I'm feeling contracted and I'm in my small space. I feel alienated. I don't feel one with everybody. I feel separated from everybody, and I can't break out of that. How do I break out of that? How do I have this experience? The first thing is to say, well, maybe Wynn is right. Maybe that experience is possible, because maybe you don't know that that's possible. Maybe you've never thought about it this way. So the first step is to say, maybe it's possible. And then you say, how do I have that? How do I go from here to there? How do I have this experience of compassion, of loving everybody? And when I say loving everybody, it doesn't mean wearing your heart on your sleeve. It means just feeling no separation from people. Sometimes loving people means totally ignoring them and not talking to them. It's very, very individual circumstance. So first, you need to expand your matrix. Now we're talking as to why we're on this conference call. Because this conference call is an opportunity to experience an expanded matrix. And this is something that I've been learning, say that I had no idea what this would work or not work. It's been my own little experiment and the experiment of those people that have been on the call to see, and we know, I never put it in these terms, but in these terms, it's like, can we create a reference point for an expanded matrix where those people that come on this call might have this experience of oneness? And the interesting thing is I've been doing this call, and it's kind of, you know, I don't really direct it. I just come on, and we're doing it on BBS, but we've been doing it on the phone line for quite some time prior to being on BBS. And I've watched, just without any direction or any specific leadership on my part, how the people on the call would connect with each other outside of the call. They suddenly would start feeling each other. People that were going through things that would normally be painful and separative suddenly had friends that were going through it with them. And there was just spontaneous interactions going on all the time of this kind of stuff. And so it started to meet my criteria. You know what? People are being compassionate. People are being sensitive to each other. People are not coming on this call for any other purpose. There's nothing else to be gained from this call except to intend to have that experience. And of course, the one added bonus to that experience is, in addition to all of us joining with each other in our matrixes on this call, there are also these two group souls who I have been in communication with. Now, of course, how do we know they're group souls? We don't. You know, when you're involved in channeling and a voice talks through somebody, you have to say, how do I know they are who they say they are? I mean, you can't see them, it's just a voice. So, for me, in fact, I was never, ever a person that was attracted to channeling, because I said, you know, I could be misled too easily. How do I know who's coming through that person is trustworthy? How do I know that when they say something, they have my best interests at heart? And so, when this experience happened to me, of course, I started writing the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and I studied the channelings of David Wilcock, who the book makes the case, a very good case, for being Edgar Cayce. But as I was studying this, well, the one thing that came to my immediate awareness was the wisdom, the consistent wisdom of who was talking through David Wilcock. And the consistent, really deep understanding of the human condition and the problems humans have and the guidance that was given for those problems. That was a very self-evident, you know, thing that I couldn't argue with. Now, when this voice would explain itself as a group soul, for those of you that are hearing background noise, just, I'm in the parking lot of Starbucks in Beverly Hills. We have a Triumph motorcycle next to me and a dog hanging out of his window, barking at the motorcycle. The motorcycle's driving away, and I'm going to forget everything I'm talking about. Let me see if I can remember. Okay. Group souls for David Wilcock. So the voice identified itself as a group soul. And it's actually, they used the word social memory complex. And they said, they were describing the way that soul evolution works over many, many lifetimes. Now, of course, if we go back to what I was speaking about earlier, that we are in a matrix, and each of us exists as a piece of energy in a matrix, and that we can expand in that matrix so that our matrix now includes other people's matrixes so that we suddenly have the quality of compassion and love. One, well, over many, 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 many lifetimes, supposedly, we don't have to have bodies anymore. We just have the pure energy of our essence in the matrix. And the way that this group soul describes themselves is that they're composed of graduates of the physical realm on this planet as well as other planets. And they're a conglomerate of souls that have grouped together and made a huge matrix where they can flow in and out of being one or feeling a little separate, move, you know, depending on what's best for the circumstance. Now, when I say huge matrix, we're talking about like an amoeba that spreads through 90% of the universe. That's how they describe themselves. I can't validate that, but let's just say maybe it's true. And this amoeba of energy composed of all these individual soul graduates now acts as a huge team to help beings that are trapped in this lower realm. And it may not be so obvious to you that you're trapped. So let's consider that as a possibility, because maybe you don't feel trapped. Maybe you're having a pretty good life and things are working well. Well, according to the way it's expressed, yes, you can have a good life, and you know, you can have lots of difficult lives, and then you have a good life again, because each life is like a painting that there's no guarantee of anything that's going to happen and who you're going to meet and what mistakes you might make, because mistakes come from, usually, even if you are really, say, fairly big matrix being that's in this realm, you can have one little mistake, or one, well, I won't even call it a mistake, but one little activity that suddenly compresses your matrix, and you forget that you're a big matrix because of that activity, and now you have to live within a compressed matrix, and then that compressed matrix goes from lifetime to lifetime to lifetime, and then you can get enslaved. There's all these things that can happen energetically in this realm. And they're saying that the real exercise here is to graduate from this realm if you want to. You don't have to. You can keep repeating it and repeating it and repeating it. And, of course, every life, it's just the way it's always been. We're here. We know nothing. We have to figure it out. We have to hope we get the right information and we don't make any gross errors that really make things worse. But, you know, you can't carry... At least as far as I know, most of us, I'm not sure if I can say all of us or not, but we can't carry the intent of our growth from one life to another. We have to recapture it on our next life. And that's why it's so easy to go backwards in this realm as well as forwards, because each lifetime is a certain amount of randomness that you just don't know what's going to happen. So when you do graduate, and one of the things we can say is that this realm, for a great many people, is filled with sorrow, sadness, hurt, poverty. And it's really easy to just fall into that for a lifetime, or many lifetimes, and have your own problem getting out of it. So this realm has been a stuck realm where the word that has been used in my channelings has been gross repeating cycles, where for hundreds of thousands of years, we keep coming back and repeating the same episodes without graduating. And when we come back, it's like if we could imagine perhaps we were on another planet, and it had an advanced society, and it had an advanced technology, and suddenly that planet blew itself up, which is exactly what's happened in the history, if I have it correct. And now there's all these souls that no longer have a planet and no longer have bodies. And according to this group soul that was speaking through David Wilcock, they actually moved those souls to Earth to continue their evolution. But when they came to Earth, they didn't come into a technologically advanced, suddenly step into the shoes of exactly where they were on that planet. They went back and became Neanderthal man and went through tens of thousands of years of evolution before the planet had the sophistication where they could then experience where they were on this other planet. And so, guess what? Here we are. Our planet has that sophistication now. And there's this question, will we make the same mistake that we did then? And then before that, then, and before that, then? Or will we evolve ourselves so that we are free of this potential to make those mistakes? This is the way it's described. This is the game that's being played, and we are all in the middle of that game. And to win that game, it takes the group energy to create high enough intentions to overcome the intentions of what we could call the negative. Now, when we do, what I've learned is these group souls actually are working with us on these conference calls. How do I know that? I don't know that. I can't prove it. I can say that because I've had ongoing channelings for 5 years, I've had the opportunity to ask a lot of questions. If there's those of you that are listening on BBS and have not really become aware of my own personal story, and you're just checking in tonight for the first time, I'd like to suggest that you visit this website. It's called theinsidescoop.org. And it's the Inside Scoop from outside this dimension, theinsidescoop.org, where the story of what happened to me is on an audio tape with some real actual channelings and conversations so that you can hear what my experience has been and how these voices actually sounded as they're talking to me through personal relationships. And they singled me out. It wasn't an accident. They actually wanted to talk to me. And I learned that, in my life, I've been a songwriter. I've been in front of the public. I've been a public speaker. And I'm not attached to recognition. And so they could use me, because if they made themselves real to me, that I might be able to make it real to you, and you could draw your own conclusions. So we have this group that's saying, here's how it works, and we are at this precipice of this end of a 75,000-year cycle, and yet there is no way to figure that out from a third-dimensional viewpoint, because it's a different experience than ever happened in the recorded history of mankind. And so that understanding it gives you a much greater chance, that really increases your odds that you're going to graduate this realm, as opposed to having to repeat it again for another 100,000 years. And as I said, when repeating it could mean going back to being Neanderthal man or God knows what on some other planet until the evolution of that planet gets to the point where we can actually be sophisticated as we are right now in this realm. Of course, the sophistication means that the entire planet is closer to oneness. It means that because of the increased communication, it's possible. Things are in a huge flux of going this way or that way. And it's possible for one individual to communicate to many, 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 many people without needing a lot of money or without needing promotion through the internet, if you can figure it out. And so we're in a very small window of great change. And many people know this. And many people are working very hard to implement this so that this transition, this end of a cycle that we're going through, can be smoother. And that if there is this graduation, which they're talking about, that more people will graduate. And, of course, this is a big, big topic, and it's not something to go in quickly or lightly on this Monday night conference call, because if you guys are not on my mailing list, I would suggest you get on it, because I might do a workshop this Saturday. I might do a few workshops. I haven't done one for a long time, but there's been a lot of new people that have been looking at what I'm talking about, and I will go into this dimensional shift in great detail, at least as far as I have come to understand it. So we have this group, Sol Ra, that's made up of graduates of this realm. It's like an amoeba spread through this realm in another dimension. And so for them, space doesn't exist, or minimally exists. And it's hard to guess when I say for them. So this is how I think it is. I'm not saying I am sure, but I think space is not a problem. And that they can flow into your space. They can flow through you. They can flow inside of you. They're part of the makeup of the energy template of this universe. So they have been doing that for many thousands of years on our planet. And if all my indications are correct, they're one of the forces that we have thought of as God. Now, God is all that is. And God doesn't separate from being all that is to individuate. There's a huge kind of structure, hierarchy. I don't like to use the word hierarchy. Delegation. But it's not really delegation in the sense that all that is says, the Ra group, you do this, the Elohim group, you do this. As I understand it, it's all free will. If something was saying, do this, it wouldn't be the highest. So it's just as you have free will. If you decide to give Obama a dollar, you know, you may feel really good about it. You may feel compelled, compassionately to do it. But there's no big voice that comes down from all that is and says, win, give that guy a dollar. The deal is these group souls look at us, and we're kind of like the bums. And if no one gives us the dollar, we'll never figure it out. We'll be stuck here, God knows, blowing ourselves up from civilization to civilization to civilization. And there would be no religions. There would be no spiritual teachings, because I believe these things stem from these group souls. So right now, we're in a critical place, and they do want to communicate with us. And they're doing it. They're doing it through me, through David Wilcock. And if you scan the web and do searches, you'll find other people that are also being emissaries for these group soul intelligences. So the Ra group is inside you, can flow inside you, and we all have connected as a group energy. And we did this a couple weeks ago, and if I assume the Ra group is on the line, let's just take a short moment of silence and feel how it feels inside of us. And if you're open, just say, I'm open to having you move through my body and let me experience you. They say they can be like your companion. If you learn their resonant frequency, you can call on them, and they will be there as your companion or adjunct. Energetically, you may not be having conversations with them, but you feel the presence of their energy. So I'd like to take a moment, and let's just close our eyes and be quiet, and let that energy, which I'm calling Ra, and if you want to call it something else, it's fine. They don't care what you call them. If you want to call it God, fine. If you want to call it Christ consciousness, fine. Let that energy move inside you right now. Okay. Now, if you would like to make a closer connection with that energy, if you would like to have a greater understanding of it, probably the best way to do that is read the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, because half the book is their messages, and that energy is contained in their messages. And one of the first clues that I had that this was working this way was when I would be reading their channelings out loud to my friend, and I could feel the shift of energy, and I wasn't expecting it. And you know what? They didn't even say this in the channelings. It wasn't quite overtly said. But yet, every time we would read the channelings, we would feel that shift. And I started to think, what if this is them? And then other people that were reading my book were having the same experience. And so I did grow to believe that it was, they could move into this realm in the manner that I'm describing, and that we could feel them. And in fact, they can't violate your free will, so you have to call on them, you have to ask. And so part of my job is to try to create the liaison so you can feel how it feels to ask for that energy and what to expect if it answers you. Now, the other group soul is the Elohim. And the Elohim is also outside of this timeline. And the best way to describe it is they're kind of outside of the physical universe, whereas the Ra group flows within the universe. The Elohim group flows outside of the universe, but can beam down almost like a laser from where they are down here. And when they come in, it's not so much of an experience, at least as I've come to identify it, as an energy inside you, it's an energy all around you. If you've ever been able to see energy or see light flecks or see auras, the entry of the Elohim into this realm looks like that. And the two groups actually work together. In fact, we had a channeling on the Fire of the Grid evening we did, and they said they were blending within our group. So, and this was an unusual experiment to try to reach more people. So, we're talking about them separately now. So let's for a moment look at the Elohim and think of, just imagine this energy that's outside of all the timelines that is looking at us, looking at you right now. And they, if you're open to it, because they will not violate your free will, if you're open to it, they can beam into your space. And imagine the space all around you just enlivened with energy. And now let's take a moment and combine the two energies, keeping in mind that everything is one. So every time we talk about anything that's individuated, it's got its own huge piece of the matrix separated from all that is. So now we have these two huge group souls, and we ask them to combine their energies. And imagine yourself as a body in the midst of this huge bath of energy flowing in you and around you. So if you recall, at the very beginning of this talk, I said we were going to have an experience of oneness, and we were going to attempt to create that in the course of the call. And for some of you, maybe you had a glimpse of that. Maybe you had a feeling for that energy, where, first of all, we've all combined our energies, those of us on the call, and then we've invited these group energies that are not in this dimension to join with our energies. And some of you felt something. And was that that? You'll have to decide. The good news is about it is that you don't have to just come to these calls to experience it. It's something that you can make and integrate into your life. And you can walk around as an example of a living example of the law of one. And you can integrate the energies without trying to explain it to anybody, because this is not something that most people can understand. But just by holding that space, you will generate an experience around you that many of the people that you come in contact with will feel. And you will uplift them. And you will be their teacher, so to speak, because you will be holding this energy for all those other people that are part of your physical relationships, whether they're your family, whether they're the people you meet at your work, whether they're your neighbors. It doesn't matter. This is not about converting anyone to believe something. They do not have to understand all the things that I spoke about today. They may be interested in understanding it, in which case you can invite them on these calls, or you can try to explain it. And but whether they understand it in their mind or not, you will be changing the vibration of the planet in your life. And you will become a walking example of a representative and an emissary holding this energy in your life every day. What we are holding these calls now every night of the week. I don't give a talk except on Mondays. On Tuesdays, we read a channeling from one of these group souls, which is a subset of the Ra group, and there's a huge amount of wisdom and understanding reiterating this, the kinds of things I've talked about in these Tuesday night calls, and you're all invited to check into it. Of course, it's on the telephone, it's not on the internet. So if you're interested, go to the insidescoop.org, and there's an email there, and just request information on the Tuesday night calls. There's also a book called Questions and Answers with the Elohim, which is about 70 pages of some of the questions I ask them about how they interact with this realm, how they work with us. And you can read their own words, not mine, describing how they are, at least in as much as a human can understand it, which is not easy. And Wednesday through Sunday are not really informational calls. It's just an invocation of the energy. And then those people on the call have an opportunity to put and extend this energy into areas which may be problem areas, people they know that are sick, people that are going through things. And so we tap into this energy and we send it to trouble spots around the world and for healing of our planet. And there's an ongoing reference point every night of the week that if you would want to learn to hold this energy for yourself, then by doing this, by participating, probably have one of the best shots without spending any money or going anywhere or leaving your own apartment. It's easy to accomplish. So you're all invited. You just go on the website and request the information on the conference calls. Now, we have about 3 minutes left to be on BBS, and then we're going to continue on the phone line, where we're going to do, with those people on the line, we're going to be sending the light or sending this energy to various situations that they're working with, but they would like that assistance in their own personal sphere. Of course, this is always done with the highest good of all concerned, since it's not always for the highest good of all concerned to have a circumstance change. Sometimes people are going through difficult circumstances because they need a lesson. And until they learn that lesson, that difficult circumstance has to persevere. So we're going to call in the light. And calling in the light is just kind of a ritualistic assembly of words that I put together, which is a shortcut for all the stuff we've talked about on this call. And it's just a way to intend for that to happen. And, of course, intention is the most powerful tool that we have as humans to penetrate this, from this veil, from this realm, in through the veil, into these other dimensions that we also exist in. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this call, and that any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in this flow of energy radiating from the Hunabku, from the center of our galaxy, through our solar system, through all empty space, through our bodies, into the center of the Earth. And we now take our individual matrices and we free willingly, if you so choose, allow our matrices to combine with all those other people who are listening to my voice right now. All the people on the phone line and all the people on around the internet that are listening all over the planet. And now we invite those group soul energies and all other positive service to other energies and intelligences in these other dimensions to join with us. And we create a huge flow of light energy around our planet that we've interwoven together. And each of us is a point anchoring that light in your own particular physical location. And as you're anchoring it, realize that it's uplifting you and it's uplifting your space and it's radiating out to the people in your space and the people in your neighborhood and your own city. We take a moment and hold that energy. And on that note, we will say good evening to everyone in BBS that's been tuned into our call. And we thank you for joining with us, and we thank you for participating in our experiment of manifesting the law of one during this hour, and we hope you'll come back next week.